Ephesians chapter 4, starting from verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Friends, as I said in the introduction, lots happen in the book of Ephesians. The first half of it, we've had this big grand master plan of God in terms of bringing a new world order through Jesus and establishing the church as the thing, as the body of people who displays his manifold wisdom. Here we are then. This is the way that Paul goes on to say, now, therefore, you should live this way. Chapter 4, starting from verse 1 to verse 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Well, now, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's the Bible passage that Mark's going to explain to us a little bit later.
Mark, if I haven't met you before, I'm the student minister here at Acacia Ridge. We're going to look at the Bible this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, as Weber read out. And before we do that, we're going to pray. So let's talk to God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that in him we can be united with each other and that we can be united with you. We thank you for his death on the cross that paid the price for our sins, and that he defeated death in his resurrection. Lord, we pray today as we read the Bible, as we look at what you have to say to our lives, we pray that you convict our hearts. We pray that you give us godly sorrow with the way that we live, and that you help us focus to live more worthy of the calling that you've given us in Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. Okay, so get set. So, have you ever wondered what it's like, or what someone is to be when they're to be worthy of the position they hold? I was thinking about this week as we're reading, as I'm going through doing exams as well, and thinking, do I feel worthy to be in this position? But what about other people in their lives? What does it look like to be worthy? We're going to be working through the Bible. You can see the outline up there. You'll see it on your handouts as well. But what does it look like to be worthy when you say, wear the baggy green? What do you expect of them? We want them to be worthy as Australians when they wear the baggy green, when they join the Australian test team. So there's a lot to live up to when you're called to be into the Australian test team. Though in the last few years, I don't think they got the memo. Probably a lot of them haven't lived up to what it means to be called to be worthy of wearing the baggy green. Now, I'm not going to name names, but we know who they are. And how often do they live up to the standard of people like Bradman or McGrath or warning. That's on the field warning, not off the field warning. What about when someone wears this? The Army, Defence Force personnel. So there's a lot of history in that uniform. We hope when someone puts on this uniform that they live worthy of this great tradition. Just like we celebrated last week of those who are worthy of this uniform. And then we think about politics. We always live with a hope that politicians will live worthy of the calling that they have to represent their electorate. How often do they really live worthy of this call? And how often do they disappoint us with how little worthiness they show when they're called into these positions? Because they often don't live worthy of the call they've received into politics. So we expect, when people are called into something, to live worthy of the calling, of that particular calling. Like when they wear the baggy green. I mean, even more so when they're called into God's family. But do we have that same level of expectation for followers of Jesus? So do we expect, when people wear the Christian label, that they will be like Christ? We see in the church of Ephesus that they are told to live worthy of the calling they have received. So they, like us, have been called into God's family. And this is through Jesus' death and resurrection that makes this possible. And to be worthy of our calling is to live with Jesus as the standard. How worthy was the church at Ephesus really living? How worthy are we really living now? Where do you think you sit on a scale of worthiness? Maybe it's like a 4 out of 10 or a 7 out of 10. Where do you really think that you fit in the scale of worthiness? Not that there is such a scale, but think about that in your own reflections. How do we live worthy lives? Because as Christians, we're called to be worthy of the calling we've received in Jesus. So Ephesians gives us a picture of this. First, be completely humble. Check. Be gentle. I can when I want to. Be patient. Oh, when will this be over? I've got so much to do today. Hurry up, Mark. I'm just here to get my name ticked off so I can get to heaven. What was the first one again? Humility. Humility. How much do we really show humility? Funny thing is when we think we're humble, we're automatically not. But see, there's been a misconception about humility. See, the purpose of humility isn't to make you think less of yourself, of who you are, but to enable you to love others regardless of who they are. But above all, Jesus is the standard for humility. For God to come into this world and interact with us, the lowliest of people, us sinners, is an open display of his supreme humility. Showing this kind of humility is living worthy of the calling we have received. And because as Christians, we are to live worthy of the calling we have received in Jesus. And the next one, and be gentle. It's to show mild, kind, tender temperament or character. That means not getting into a rage when things don't go our way. This doesn't mean, particularly especially as men, that we don't lose our masculinity, but that we understand true masculinity in Jesus. And also be patient. Can we tolerate delays, problems, in suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious? Can we be patient? Because as Christians, we are to live a life worthy of the calling received in Jesus, and being patient is part of this calling. Bearing with one another in love. How do we go with that as a church? So I bet there's people in this church right now that annoy you. Stop thinking about them. Maybe I annoy you. Just like any family, the family of God is no different. We have to work hard to love one another and bear with one another in love. We don't have to agree with every lifestyle choice that our brothers and sisters make, but we have to bear with one another in love. And that means loving them despite what they do, and love them because what Jesus has done on the cross for you. For example, Dan, our senior pastor, goes for New South Wales at Origin time. Yay. Do I like that about him?
Nah.
But I still love him like a brother. See, joking aside though, there are far more serious things that can divide us besides what football team that we go for. But for the sake of unity, we need to live a life worthy of the calling we received as Christians. We need to bear with one another in love, just like Jesus did. He loved us so much that he took the penalty for our sins on the cross. He rose to life, conquering death and restoring our relationship with God the Father. So we should go to the effort and make peace with our brother and sister in Christ in light of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. See, outside of Christ, we have no hope. We can only have hope in Jesus. We're called to be a part of the body of Christ, to which Christ is the head. We are called to one faith, which means we don't hold faith in other things of this world, like money, like family, like cars and sport and houses and education. The list goes on. Because we all have idols that we put false hope in. Maybe we miss church for our idols, or miss growth group because of it. Or perhaps we stop others in our family from coming to church because of our idols. Our hope is in our idols rather than in Jesus. Like, oh, I have to go watch this sport. Oh, we have to stay home and make my child study rather than go to church. See, though study is good, though sport can be enjoyed, if these things become ultimate things, they draw us and our families away from being united with Christ's body, the church. They draw us away from being united together. We aren't really living worthy lives of our calling if we chase after our idols. We aren't living with the one true hope. But we do need to live worthy, united under one God, continually being gracious to one another. Because as Christians, we must live worthy of the calling we have received in Jesus. We do this because we see God's measure of grace given to us in Jesus. So verse 7, look at your Bibles with me. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We see how Christ gives various forms of grace to specific people. But let's think about for a second about the grace that we've all received if we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. See, in the times when this letter was written to the church at Ephesus, to grace something to someone was to gift something. To gift something to someone knowing that they could never repay that, ever. For example, say I was broke and I needed money, and say Dan, graced, gave the money to me. He would do that knowing that I could never pay him back. Therefore, my job, thinking in that context of the first century Christians at Ephesus, my job then was to bring glory to Dan. I would go around and tell people that he's this great bloke. Heck, I wouldn't even mention he goes for New South Wales. But because he graced me money, my job now is to bring glory to him. And that's how it happened in the first century culture. But see, this is the same for Jesus. And I don't think in our culture we recognise this concept enough, as much as the church would back in Ephesus. See, our job because Jesus has graced us, he's given us a gift by paying our debt and giving us his righteousness, is to glorify him. We're now, because he's paid the price for us, to glorify him. We're to tell the world why he deserves to be glorified. Because as Christians, we're to live worthy of the calling we received in Jesus. And to bring honour and glory to Jesus is part of that calling. Let's keep reading, verse 8. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. See, in this part, Paul writes the church at Ephesus, and now he's referring back to an old psalm in the Old Testament, in Psalm 68. Now, looking at this original psalm, it's referring to a military ruler back then. He's now conquered these people, and he actually gives gifts to his people. Just in the same way now Christ has captured our hearts, he gives gifts, he graces us, he gives gifts as his newly devoted followers. As Paul emphasises here, that Christ is giving gifts to his followers. But the important thing to note as we look at the context is in verse 9 and 10, it is the resurrected Christ that is giving these gifts. He came to earth to pay the price for sin, dying on the cross, paying the price for sin once for all, rising 3 days later and ascending after that. This is the resurrected Christ, the death-conquering Christ, who is giving his church in Ephesus, and he gives us gifts as well today. Now, some of these roles are gifted to specific people, not just generally, like the grace that we've all received if we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. So what are these roles? You can see them there. First one is the apostles, which just means a sent one, a messenger or an ambassador. And because these guys met Jesus face to face, these were the first ones to be sent out into the rest of the world. Now, a prophet, these guys were always to point God's people back to him. They were God's covenant spokesman. Yes, at times they did foretell future events relating to God, but their main job was to point God's people to God through the scriptures. But just a quick word on that, because I couldn't let it go without explaining it. Be careful of people who do claim to be a prophet today. Just make sure what they're saying does line up with the Bible. Otherwise, they're not a prophet, and they're probably after some sort of different prophet. And our evangelists, these are people with specific giftings in evangelism, telling people about Jesus. But it doesn't stop all of us telling others about how they too can be a part of the body of Christ. Yes, some people might be specifically gifted, but we all have a part in telling others about the hope we have in Jesus. And then there's pastors and teachers, which is where you'd probably, if you're going to put people into categories, you'd probably put Dan and Weber into those. That they're here to build up the church and teach God's word to people centered around the word of God so that they can reach maturity. They're here to help us so we can unite together through faith in Jesus. They are here to build up God's people. But also, we're all to teach people wherever we are. Now, we're not all going to be pastors in a church, but we still have a teaching role to play in our families. A lot of us have families. A lot of us have dependents. A lot of us have family that are parents that are non-believers. But we are to teach them about the hope we have in Jesus. And it's important that we're teaching them about the truth of Jesus as we do what we're supposed to do, as we grow in that role. We're not going to be perfect at it, because we're not all gone to Bible college and been trained, but as we're equipped to serve one another in love, we can grow in those teaching roles that we all have. Now, some of you are probably starting to think about, how can I serve? How can I really live worthy of the calling I've received? How can I serve in response to what we've been learning in church from Dan and Weber throughout the year? How can I glorify Jesus because he's shown grace to me? How can I live worthy of the calling I've received in Jesus? See, as the elders, in particular Dan and Weber, as they look to unite us in faith, in the knowledge of Jesus, they also want to see us mature and be living worthy of the calling we've all received in Jesus. So what does that look like for you? Maybe you're ignoring his calling. Are you feeling his calling for the first time today? See, if you are, now is the time to accept that calling and start living worthy of the calling that you have now received. So, as we're equipped to service, as we unite in the faith, we're also to be united as we grow towards maturity. What does that look like? Let's have a look. Verse 14. Then we'll be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. So what does it look like to be mature? Knowing Jesus and loving like he does. Living a life worthy of the calling we've received. Knowing and loving Jesus and loving others the way he has showed us. Also, that means we don't make up excuses for not being united with God's people at church on a Sunday, or perhaps not even making up excuses for not being united with God's people during the week in growth groups. See, I'm not going to make this Sunday because I've got to run off and serve that idol today. I'm not going to make it midweek to Bible study, to growth group, because I've got to chase after that idol. Because if we're doing that, we're being like infants, as we see in the passage. Being like infants, and we're not being united with God's people, which is what the passage is telling us to do. See, along with getting led astray by our idols, if we are growing in a growth group, it's hard to get led astray by sort of crazy Christian leaders because we're growing in the knowledge of Jesus. And for us, the best way to do that, to unite together, is here on a Sunday in a service, one of two, one of three maybe next year, uniting together on a Sunday, and also during the week, meeting together and growing as we study the Bible in growth groups. Because otherwise, we're actually missing out. We're actually missing out. And when we do that, we won't be taken away by sort of dodgy leaders. I'm sure you've probably thought of names like probably Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen or some other dodgy teacher that sells books at Word or Coorong. Not all of them are bad, but be very careful when you go there. But we need to grow in maturity so we will not be taken by these guys and tossed around like we're in the ocean. You weren't called to know Jesus just a little and then live like the rest of the world. You were called to live worthy of the calling you've received in Jesus. So this may not mean that you'll go to Queensland Theological College like I'm doing. You don't have to go to a Bible college to grow in maturity. But it does mean you don't get led astray by dodgy teachers as we work together, as we're united. As we're united together so we're not tossed around and being infants. So it does mean that we're committed to come here every Sunday, unless, I guess, we have extreme circumstances. I was talking to a couple this morning that's had a horrible time, and you can sort of understand that they've missed a few Sundays because they've had surgeries and all this sort of stuff. But we do our best to be united with God's body every Sunday as we're taught and as we can grow together in maturity. And see, it doesn't stop there. Like we've been talking about, during the week, you commit to going to a growth group so we can encourage one another to live that life that's worthy of the calling we've received. Because let's face it, as the first century Christians, they met daily, a lot of them. And we're only doing twice a week, so we're still missing out compared to the guys back in Ephesus. But as we look to live worthy of the calling as we received, as we look to be united together, we're to speak the truth in love and bear with one another in love. It was said to the church in Ephesus, and it's still the same for us today. We need to love each other as Christ has loved us, because he's the supreme example of love for us. And as we work united together in Christ, as we're united in one faith under one God, we'll build each other up, living worthy of the calling we've received. Have a look at verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So as we work together as the body of Christ, we have people working, like the sound guys up the back who don't get noticed unless there's something gone wrong, or the guys out in morning doing morning tea. They've probably baked on Saturday to give us food for morning tea, and they've looked after all our dietary requirements. What about the people serving in kids' church that are teaching your children about the calling they have received? And our youth leaders who are working together to teach the youth about the one faith we're all united in. And as growth groups meet and encourage each other during the week, we're all united in Christ through his death and resurrection as we seek to build one another up in love as each part does its work. So I know I've gone on a lot about being united and serving and being part of a growth group, but these are great ways that we can encourage each other. Church is more than a building. It's God's people living worthy of the calling they've received in Jesus in community. I know for some of us it'll be hard to get to growth group during the week, and that serving might seem quite scary. So I want to finish with a story. Part of when we go to Bible college at Queensland Theological College, we get to go on a college mission and we get to help out some other churches. And on college mission last year, I went up to Maroochydore Presbyterian Church and I met a lady named Jean. Now, Jean was 91. So we went out with some of the pastoral care team at Maroochydore, which they did every week. We got to see what they did. Now, we went there and we met Jean, and they explained to Jean that we're from a Bible college. Now, Jean, she was pretty sharp for 91. So she didn't assume anything about us. So while we were talking to her, and they said, you know, they're from the Bible college, she was making sure that we understood the gospel. She was sort of evangelizing these Bible college students that showed up at her door and telling us that we can only have hope in Jesus. And while we were chatting to her, meanwhile, Jean's on an oxygen machine and can't really leave her house. While we're chatting to her, she's crocheting away and doing the tea towels that you can sort of hang up. And she was telling us that, I make these because I can't give to the church like I used to. She was really down about not being able to serve with her money as she's giving to the church. So she's making these little tea towels so she can sell at a market so she can get money so she can give to the church so others can know about the hope that can be found in Jesus. This is a 91-year-old lady in her home, stuck in an oxygen machine. And here she is serving Jesus with all she can. She's telling people about Jesus. She's trying to serve Jesus by making those tea towels, doing the best she can, selling them at the markets, so she can get money to give to the church so people can know about Jesus. And it just struck me that she was so disappointed. I can't give like I used to, so I make these. She is serving as hard as she can in her capacity. And I was just thinking, this is what it looks like to live worthy of the calling we received in Jesus. Though I know Jean wouldn't be perfect, she was doing her best in her circumstances to serve the body of believers. And though she couldn't be part of a growth group because of her extreme medical circumstances, she was still visited by people in the pastoral care team, and they'd sit down together, similar to a growth group, and listen to the Sunday sermon that's just passed. So she too could feel like she's united with the body of Christ. So I tell you this because I want you to live a life worthy of the calling we've received in Jesus. I don't want you to think of serving and being part of a growth group as just another box to tick. But rather, it's about being united together with each one and being united to Christ as the Bible tells us to do. So where do you fit? Where do you fit in the body of Acacia Ridge? It'd be good for you to come and chat to Dan or Weber or myself or your growth group leader as we look to live lives worthy of the calling we've received. And to, if we're not already getting in the growth group, and if we're in a growth group, start thinking about how we can be serving the body as we grow to maturity, serving one another in love. Let's live worthy. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the work you've done in Jesus, that you've graced us, that you've given us his righteousness, that he has taken away our sin. Lord, we just pray that you help us to live worthy of the calling we received in Jesus. And Lord, we know the weight of that. We know who Jesus was. But Lord, we pray that we can be united together, that we don't be slack, that we not be lazy and just thinking that we can just get by and just doing a tick box Christianity and serving you by just coming to church and leaving and that's all we do. Lord, we pray that you can help us be more transformed, to live more like Jesus, that we can be united together and that we can serve one another in love and serving you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.